Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Let's just quickly have a chat about my new book, which is coming. It's out June the 27th, and I would just adore you all if you could click pre-order now, because I promise you this book is even better than my others. The Science of Plant-Based Nutrition is for everyone. It's for people that eat meat and for people that don't. And it's going to help educate you all about the benefits of a plant-based diet. We cover things such as, obviously, the gut microbiome, the immune system. Should you be worried about plant milk, seed oils, anti-nutrients? Do you need to take omega-3 supplements? There are so many questions, and I basically think that the world of scientific research is just changing at a dizzying pace, and myths and fads are proliferating everywhere. So with the Science of Plant-Based Nutrition, you can achieve a plant-packed diet that's right for you. This book is for children all the way up to adults. I hope that it will be in universities again, like the previous one, and schools and libraries. And I've got the most amazing forwards and good praise for it from Deliciously Ella, Joe Wicks, Fern Cotton, and Tim Spector. So if you could head over to Amazon now, hit pre-order on The Science of Plant-Based Nutrition, I promise you won't regret it. Welcome back to season 17 of Food for Thought. It's incredible to be here. My name is Rhiannon Lambert. For everyone that doesn't know, the reason this podcast is so unique is that I myself am a registered nutritionist. So I have 2 nutritional science degrees, a master practitioner, further diplomas in different areas of nutrition. The Retrition Clinic I founded in 2016, and we have some amazing psychologists, dietitians, nutritionists in there to help you with your one-to-one advice. Not forgetting also, if you need any additional support to your diet, we have Retrition Plus, which is formulated for you with the latest scientific research out there. Now, we're here to bring you a fantastic series ahead, full of tons of amazing guests. If you need any extra information, you can find Retrition across all social media platforms, even from TikTok to Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, LinkedIn, and of course, you can head over to Amazon and leading bookshops and find any Rhiannon Lambert authored book out there, from The Science of Nutrition to recipe books about pregnancy, and of course, my first baby back in 2017, Renourish. So let's get on to it. Enjoy season 17 of Food for Thought. In today's episode of Food for Thought, we are joined by the phenomenal British actress and singer. She's a West End and Broadway legend, Kerry Ellis. Her performances have not only earned her, a dedicated fan base. I have been there at her shows and they are obsessed with her, quite rightly so. She is established as one of the leading voices in musical theatre, inspiring so many people. Kerry has embarked upon a diverse array of projects, and I'm talking, she originated the role of Elphaba in Wicked, who's the Green Witch on West End and Broadway. She's one of Brian May's go-to singers, having recorded albums that have actually reached the UK top charts. Kerry is one of those talented people. She's a mother, she's got 2 young boys like myself, and I know how hard that juggle is. And also to stay healthy when you are one of the leading performers in the UK and abroad, it's a tricky balance. So today's episode is really going to be focusing on the fact that, can you really have it all, this incredible stardom, and can you be fit, healthy, and be the most incredible mother to these two young boys. Let's have this conversation today. Welcome, Kerry Ellis.
Hello. Thank you for having me. This is exciting.
I'm buzzing about it because I started obviously by saying, you know, there's an appearance that I think you do it all. People are obviously looking and they think, oh my goodness, she's not only is she a musical theatre, you're going to cringe when I'm saying this, I know what you're like. She's a musical theatre legend, guys. She's a performer. She's got albums. She's going on tour. But you are also a mother. It's the phrase I don't like, how do you do it all? But literally, how do you do it all?
Well, I think, you know, you're living in exactly the same, you know, world as me. You're trying to balance everything. And, and especially nowadays, you know, we're wives, we're daughters, we're mothers, we're career women as well. And it is, I hate kind of that word of, oh, let's balance, you know, work-life balance, because it's all one thing. Mm. It's all, you know, you have to negotiate so many different things. But, you know, I do actually feel quite blessed to be able to do it all, because, you know, we love to have a career and we love to be a parent, and but if you don't have the right surroundings, you don't have the right support, you don't have anything in place, you can't do it. And it is difficult, because it has to be a team effort to do all those things. It really, I mean, I can't remember the saying. It's, what does it say? It takes a
village
to raise a family.
Yeah.
And it really does.
Yeah.
I rely on so many people at different times for various different things. And I'm grateful.
Yeah. Well, it's a nice way of looking at it, because if we, you know, gratitude is a huge thing. Of course, we're blessed to have these opportunities, but it hasn't come easily. And I think you'll know, especially being a woman in an industry as well, starting back before social media was a thing in this world. How did you find, I guess, becoming confident in yourself to be able to put yourself out there in the first place and say, actually, yeah, I am going to jump on a plane and do a gig I've been offered in Singapore? Mm.
Yeah, I mean, I think it comes from, a lot of it comes from your upbringing, doesn't it? I think even if we're unaware of it or not, a lot of it comes from how you feel as a youngster and how supported you feel as a youngster. And I was very fortunate to be, you know, my parents were great. They did support me. And even though I wanted to do something that they didn't quite understand, I wanted to be in show business.
And, yeah. Because they're not performers.
They're not performers at all. No, my dad was a policeman and my mum worked in social services. Yeah. Again, my mum, this resonated with me quite recently about my mum was kind of a working mum. She had a career, and she obviously brought us up as well. And I remember her being around a lot. She ferried me everywhere.
Yeah.
My dad worked shifts, so she was kind of doing it all back then. And I, things like then that you start to go through, like, I think I'm perimenopausal, and I think, you know, things like her balancing a work-life balance, going through changes, you start to understand them differently and go, blimey, they were doing it on their own without anybody talking about it. And you mentioned social media. We're kind of fortunate to have social media in a sense, because we can talk about things.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have known about the menopause or anything before social media, or how to be a mum and have a career. But social media does give you that community, and it does give you that information. It has its downsides, obviously, but it does give you a lot of support. And going back to what you said originally, I was supported a lot when I was younger, and I think that gave me the confidence to just be okay with myself. And I think that's moved forward, and I want that for my kids. I'm very, very aware of giving that to my kids and making them feel, or hope I make them feel supported and, you know, free to make their own choices.
It's almost like social media, I guess it has opened doors, but for you, obviously, making that decision, right, I'm going to go to... Did you go to Lane?
I did, yeah.
Lane Theatre Arts. That's really intense. If you haven't come from a musical background and suddenly you're going to a stage school, can you talk to me about what that experience was like going to this high-pressured environment at such a young age? Because that school has produced some, like yourself, incredibly successful performers. How did you adjust to that? What was it like for your mental health?
Yeah, I mean, it was a big one, because, you know, you're a big fish in your little pond while you're at home, and you're kind of the top of your dance school, and you're winning all the competitions, and you're having a great time. So mentally, it's all good. And like I say, I was in a really good environment at home. I had a good social network with my friends. And then I went to drama college.
Yeah.
I think the worst bit for me, or the there was a real moment that stands out for me. Getting into the college and going through that audition process was one thing. And that was, you know, I got into there, which was great. I didn't get into Dorian Bird. That was the only other place I auditioned for.
That's interesting, isn't it? Which school would take which person? Yeah. Yet you got into the others. Yeah.
But then I had to go through a scholarship kind of audition process to get some funding, to get some support, because there's no way my parents would have been able to afford to send me. So I went down the council route to try and get some support and money. And I had to do a completely new audition. But what was different with this audition was I had to do things like, I had to go through a physical. I'd never gone through a physical in my life. So to suddenly be sat on a, you know, on a chair and being like prodded on my knees to see if my reflexes worked and to see how tall I was and my weight
and
being measured and what my bones did and what my where my legs would go. And that to me was strange because I was suddenly like, oh, this isn't actually just about if I'm talented or not. No. It's about, I guess, like athletes go through it. My body. Is my body right? And that was the first time it sparked something with me. And then through college, I mean, we had weigh-ins. We were weighed back then. I don't know if they do it now, but we were talked about how we looked, what, you know, if we were slightly overweight.
It's all right to say it, because I think back then the emphasis was hugely on a certain number and aesthetic.
Yeah, it was. It was. And we didn't really discuss mental health then. We didn't discuss nutrition then. Which maybe they do now, and I hope they do now. And also it was very stereotypical then, where it's changed, I think, now, whereas, you know, your dancers would be slim and
in a
your
leotard,
vocalists might be slightly more curvaceous or whatever. And it was trying to make you all fit into one kind of one place, which was difficult. And I think at the time, I just took it in my stride. I think if I look back at it now and I speak to some of my other friends that were students at the time, it's proper made a mark on them, and they're still now dealing with things that affected them from then. And especially a couple of good friends of mine that are still in the industry I was working with one of them recently. I'm Louise Dim, and I'll talk about her. She is a joy, and we were trained together. And we still sing together now. We performed together the other night. And we still leave voice notes of like, oh, I've put on 4 pounds. I'm going to this. And I swear. And so I think, even though I wasn't aware of it at the time, I think it did scar me a little bit mentally and still does. But it didn't consume me, I think.
I think you came, compared to experiences I've seen in our clinic, I think you came out all right from it, considering you were exposed to what I would call a lot of harmful, disordered behaviours, I think. But that, in a way, is the very old school mentality of, okay, look this way, perform this way, do what we say, hit the numbers, you will succeed. Because when did you get your first break? What was it like coming from that environment and then getting your first big role? Or
it was quite soon. I mean, I came out of college in 98 and I was 19, and I went on a cruise ship for 9 months, which was amazing because socially it was a real boost, and had a great time sailing around the Caribbean, singing and dancing and, you know, living that lifestyle and young and meeting lots of new people. That was brilliant.
Yeah.
And then when I came back from that, I pretty much went into My Fair Lady. So that was quite soon, and a big show like that quite early on.
It's a huge show. You say it so casually, but to lots of people listening, right, they're going to be thinking, oh my goodness, she was in My Fair Lady. She was in We Will Rock You. You were in Late. You've literally done every show out there. But once you were put on a kind of leading lady, you know, high profile role pedestal, what was that pressure like to then keep that up?
I think way back then, at the time, it wasn't in my world. It wasn't on my, I didn't think about it.
Yeah.
And I think now I think about it. Whereas from then I was going job to job, and I was doing, like I said, I did My Fair Lady, I did We Will Rock You, I did Miss Saigon, and I was going show to show. So everything was good. It was all fun. It was all buzzy. And And
even the audition processes didn't seem to faze you about
that. Hard, or, but I think because I was in a show or I was going to a show, I was just in it and living it. And I think that it just, it's part of the journey. And I was young enough to treat my health slightly differently.
Yeah.
As in, I mean, I've always been really active and super kind of fit.
You know, you're always going to the gym after this recording,
right? but I wasn't as educated about it as I am now, and I kind of wish I was, because if I'd have had the tools that I have now, with just nutrition and diet and exercise, I mean, I'm no expert at all and I'm still figuring out, but how it makes me feel now, I have more energy, I feel like my recovery is better, my voice is better, especially in the last 4 years when it's been a big gear change. I wish I'd have done some of these things a lot earlier, because I think it would have just helped me navigate a show. I think I'd have been better energy and recovery-wise in an 8-show a week if I'd have just put better into my system and exercised. And I think when you're in a show, you just let the show be the exercise.
Yeah.
And you think, if I do too much, it's going to...
You'll get run down.
I'm going to get run down. But it doesn't work like that.
No.
And we know that now. But I think when you're younger, you kind of a bit, you don't abuse your body, but you take it for granted that it's going to bounce back.
It's so fascinating, though, to go from role to role in that way. You're in the heights of, you know, the musical theatre world. You're thinking, oh, this is my career. This is what I'm doing. Like you said, nobody actually sat you down and checked in on how you were, what you eat before a show.
No.
So you just left in the dark, because I find that, obviously I work, as you know, with performers on what to eat. On the go. It's hard.
It is hard. And my husband works in football, and he manages a team and has worked in development over the years. Yeah. And I look at the amount of advice and support that they're given, because they're treated like athletes.
They are.
And performers aren't treated like athletes. And I don't know why they're not, because they physically, emotionally, mentally, they are. So why they're not educated from back in college, I mean, whether the colleges are changing, I don't know, but why there's not more nutrition, more active education in colleges, I don't, and the same once you're in a show.
It's bad. I was invited to the Opera, National Opera Studio the other week to give a nutrition talk, but it was voluntary. So they had chosen to actually do that.
Wow.
So some places still do not have active nutrition modules. And considering how much they pay these days, I mean, it was a lot back then, but it is so much money for people to embark upon the career you're in now.
Yeah,
it does blow my mind. But when you were going through that time, what would you say was the big break that, oh my goodness, Carrie Ellis is the musical theatre legend you're considered to be now?
I don't know. I think I'm still finding it. I think I'm still looking. I think because it's such a marathon. It's such a... You know, you do go from job to job. There's no, it's like if you in any other industry and you were working up the ranks, you'd be at like, I'd be a CEO by now.
Yeah.
You know, I would run my own company.
Yes.
Whereas in the, you do go job to job, and it's kind of like, it's not like starting again, but it's, you're constantly hustling. You're constantly finding.
Keeps you very grounded.
The next thing. So it's quite a roller coaster of emotions, which is, I think, where I kind of lean into my fitness, because it, for me, it's an outlet. Mm. And if I'm not doing a million shows, I just go for runs, or I'm in the gym, or I get obsessive with my fitness. And I think it's because if I don't have that outlet in a show, I have to find it somewhere else.
Yeah.
I don't know if there was a kind of eureka moment. It's only when I start looking back on it, and like we'll talk about it in a minute, I'm sure, but the tour that I'm doing at the end of the year is a book tour, and it's talking about
it's amazing
what I've done and some new songs and bits and pieces. But it's only those moments when I actually start talking about those, you know, the big shows or the things that I've done that you go, yeah, actually... It's been good. It's been really good.
Yeah.
But in the moment, you're just going, oh, I'm not, I haven't got a show tomorrow. What am I doing? Oh, never going to work again.
But it is crazy, because obviously you're an author, you're a performer. You met Brian through Brian May from Queen, working on We Will Rock You, which I think a lot of people will know you from, because you have done some incredible collaborations and continue to do so.
Yeah, he's been amazing. I mean, we... We were voice noting literally this morning because he's out in Tokyo and he's about to perform in the Tokyo Dome. And obviously I was there at the beginning of the year. Yeah. But he's been so instrumental in my life. With the music and with obviously with the show, We Will Rock You, and we've done various albums and performances together.
But I listen to your albums with the kids in the car. They love it.
Yeah, it's good. But he's also been... He's also kind of a friend of the family now. Yeah. You know, like my kids were sending him little videos yesterday to say have a good show. But he's also been an amazing support and mentor throughout. And he's a really good kind of ally. And you talk about mental health in this industry. He's been through it all and he's still going through it. You know, he still has those highs of the shows and then the lows of when you're not doing a show and the struggle of working, balancing your life and your... and your career, and he's a great person to bounce that off, and we do talk about that a lot, which is great. I'm grateful to
absolutely
him.
I mean, Queen obviously were huge, and sometimes I do think about it and I think, oh my goodness, he's an activist for, you know, anti-fox hunting, and he does so many different things. I see, so you work with Brian a lot, and then obviously you originated the role of Elphaba in Wicked, which a lot of people, I think you've got a lot of people that are literally, I would go as far as saying obsessed with you. I know because I've been to your shows, because I'm so lucky, obviously, to get to go and see you a lot. But they're there cheering you on every step of the way. And I think a lot of them maybe started when you originated the role and you got invited to do it on Broadway. How was that? Was it a bit of imposter syndrome? Did you embrace it full swing?
Oh, Wicked. I mean, wow.
Where do you start?
What an event. What a time in my life. Yeah, it was an amazing couple of years. To get it was amazing. And when I got that call about, you know, getting that role, it was incredible. And it did have a weird...
Did you know the show when they called
you? Didn't know
the show. Right, so it was literally, you're going to do this new show. Yeah. You had no idea.
Didn't know. I knew it was a spin... Well, I thought it was a spin-off of
Wizard of Oz. Yeah.
At the time. And I got... When I was told about the audition, I didn't even know the music, so I got the CD that with the 12 songs on it. Yeah. So it probably had...
Was that the Idina Menzel recording with...
Yeah. So I listened to that and I thought, okay, I'll go along and I'll audition. And I did. And I actually auditioned for both Witches to start
with. Did you? Yeah. I love that.
Not many people know that. But
no.
For the first couple of rounds, I sang both, and then obviously I carried on and got the role. And... Yeah, it was an amazing journey, and there was an incredible support and obsession with the show, and there still is, and the show's still running, and it resonates with people at different times, and people kind of like to say, oh, you were my first Elphaba, so people go back to see the show over and over again, and they have an association with it, they have an affiliation with it, because it touches people in a certain way, and they do... Those people then seem to be very loyal to you. And these people that saw me way back when do still come and see me in various shows. Yeah. And they do say, oh, I saw you first time on Broadway, or I saw you in the West End, or you were my first Elphaba, or whatever it is. And they still then continue to follow you, which is lovely, because you kind of, you've sparked something in there.
Yeah. And vocally, it's a challenging role, Elphaba. I cannot get over. But the reason you are so incredible, Kerry, is because you are A, reliable, obviously vocally gifted, but to be able to sustain that type of role must have taken a physical toll at some point.
Oh, it was horrendous. I mean, it was like the best and the worst job I've ever done in my life, because of the pressure. And because of the...
They're all waiting for that one moment.
They're waiting for you to go, ah.
Yeah.
And it's, if you've had, you know, if you're 8 shows in, or you're 2 weeks in, or you're 3 weeks in, 4 months, whatever, and you've got a cold, or you're slightly off, or you're, it's so difficult. And you don't want to be off, and you don't ever have time to recover. Your cords swell. You don't have time for them to recover properly before you've got to go back on. It's a real struggle. And like I said at the beginning, I wish I would just had more education with my physicality, my nutrition.
Yes.
To help support that, because I just know that it would have helped me recover quicker and be stronger physically, vocally, it just would have all been made so much more sense.
It would have been amazing, because we know now that our immune system, 70% is in our gut. It resides there. If you eat well for your gut health, you're more likely to have a better immune system. Yeah. You're able to.
But you've changed that for me. Since us meeting way back when, that's kind of when it all started to change for me.
Yeah.
Because we had a couple of chats.
Yeah, we did.
You made a couple of changes for me, and then it changed my whole outlook. And I think just changing your mindset with that has such a big effect. And I didn't realize it at the time, because I thought I was relatively healthy and active, and I thought I was okay.
But you were not putting yourself first.
Yeah.
That was one of our big things I remember when chatting, because, and this is okay to say, and I think we all do it, I do it, and I'm here preaching to the, you know, choir or whatever they say, but as a mother, as a performer, you've got a pressure to perform. Sometimes, for some bizarre reason, we just neglect the basics we need of consistency, of what we can get. Your convenience becomes life.
Yeah.
It's hard.
And making the right choices as well. I mean, I listen to loads of podcasts as well now. I love them, and I love talking about
nutrition. And you have your own?
I did. I haven't done any for a long, long time. But
it's great in lockdown.
Yeah, it was a good little vice. I think it's so important. And I love picking up new things. I love picking up new bits of advice and nutrition and trying things out and learning, constantly learning. But I can't believe how powerful it is.
Food is, it's so connected. Every performer I speak to about their diets and the nutrition, like when I was even at the opera school last week, I could not get over the stamina that these performers are expected to exert, and without any education on timing of meals.
Or what to eat.
What to eat, how to eat, how to avoid a sugar high, a sugar crash, all that kind of stuff. So were America ahead of the game? I have to ask you this, because obviously you then were so successful and incredible in originating a role, which is pretty cool. You'll have that forever. Then you got whisked off to Broadway. Was it a total different scenario?
Well, it actually worked. It was a bizarre way how it worked, because when I got the call to say that I had the role, they said, you're going to open in London, it's going to be great.
How did you feel when you got
that? I was buzzing and slightly scared, you know, suddenly like, oh, really excited, but oh, actually the expectation now
makes me kind of emotional thinking about you getting that phone call.
Yeah, like,
oh my gosh,
I remember it so vividly. I was walking down Compton Street and I remember the phone call so vividly. And then a few weeks later I was told that the original Elphaba, Idina Menzel, was going to come over and do the show for a couple of months in London. So initially, my initial thought was, I wanted to open the show. But then I was like, well, you know, the original girl that created the role on Broadway is coming to London. That'd be great. And, you know, it gives me a chance to kind of settle in before I then open the show. Which was fine. She came over. It was great. She opened the show. And then they did a big launch for when I went in a couple of months later, which was lovely. And had she not have come over, I wouldn't perhaps have gone to Broadway, because I ended up being her exchange. And that's how it works in theatre. You can have an exchange. You can swap cast, basically. So the fact that she did just opened up a doorway for me to be able to then go to New York and play it in New York.
Amazing. And were they into nutrition there in New York? Did they know? Okay, right. Well, I thought they might have been ahead of the game a bit, but maybe not.
I don't think there's no support surrounding the shows. I mean, I guess it's a professional environment and they think that people are probably looking after themselves. I mean, when I was doing it also, there was no social media.
No.
So what we have access to now, I mean, I've got endless foods on my, you know, recipes and which we didn't have then. And I guess there's more access to quick food in New York,
which isn't always a good thing.
Which isn't always good. And like I would kind of go out between shows and grab like a salad box or something. Think I'm doing the right thing. But probably actually not fueling myself enough to do the show, but thinking, oh, I don't want to eat too much and I don't want to put weight on and I don't want to
be eating my big meal at 11 p.m.
Yeah, but you're not fueling yourself right.
No.
So it's
It's a really hard one. Are there any roles as well that you wish you'd played that you haven't got to play? I'm sure you're asked that all the time, but
there's loads. I'd love to do Evita.
Oh wow!
I'd love to do the witch in Into the Woods.
Yes. Oh my goodness. Yes.
I'd love that.
Yeah.
I'd love to play Gypsy at some point. Baker's Wife, Sweeney Todd, you know, there's loads.
Yeah, okay, Sondheim is a kind of...
Cabaret.
Yeah, yeah, okay, nice.
Loads.
So, but the doors are still open for you to do that.
Well,
if
maybe.
If you wanted to do it, I think...
Well, things are slightly different now because my boys are... Alfie's 10 and Freddie's 8.
Oh, she's 10.
I know. How that...
10 just sounds so suddenly grown
doesn't
up.
Doesn't it?
But and he's not.
Well, he feels it. He's huge. Suddenly, like, I look at him and I think, how have I got a 10-year-old?
Yeah.
So show-wise, it's difficult for me to be in a long show. So for me to do like my tour and small gigs and concerts, and that works for me really well because I'm not away for long periods of time. Saying that, I mean, I did Anything Goes a couple of years ago and you know, if the call comes, you go, you know, that's just how it works. But yeah, I don't want to be away from them too much. But I do like the variety. That does create variety for me. So.
But I can hear that conflict. It's the constant motherhood conflict.
It's constant,
It doesn't go anywhere.
Of course.
You want to be at home with your kids. You need the break. You need to keep your career going because you know they're going to grow up and go off at some point.
Yep.
You want to still be doing what you love.
Yeah, it's hard. It is hard. And I think as a parent, you need to have the time where you go away as well and be who you are so that you're a better parent and, you know, you can educate them and be the best parent you can be. But, yeah, it's hard. It is a constant battle.
And are the kids, do they pick up on your musicality? So I know they're so active because I see them on the monkey bars all the time. They're doing their thing. They are incredibly fit and healthy. And they obviously get that from you and your husband because you're both so fit and you're into that.
Mm-hmm.
But are they musical? Do you think there's a...
My youngest is a little bit. Fred's... They like music.
Yeah.
And we take them to lots of different things. So we'll take them to musicals and... football games and concerts and life experiences. We travel with them. We try and give them lots of just experiences that they can then see that the world is bigger than you know their little school hours.
Isn't that amazing? You're able to give them that though. Isn't that incredible?
Yeah, I mean it comes with its challenges, but I think that's the job, isn't it? It's giving your kids just as much opportunity as you can.
Hi everyone. So just to have a quick discussion around pregnancy multivitamins. It's really, really important, I think, that when you're pregnant, you're getting the essential nutrients you need to support your body during conception and pregnancy. And that's why at Retrition Plus, I'm so excited to announce I'd been working so hard for so long on a pregnancy multivitamin. Now, pregnancy is a remarkable journey. You know, I found it very difficult. I could not eat very well during my pregnancy, and it's been formulated with the key vitamins and minerals you need, like folic acid, of course, the essentials, vitamin D and iron. It ensures the well-being of both you and your growing baby. So you need to be able to trust. And our transparent and traceable supplements are backed by scientific evidence and support and in line with UK government guidelines. Everything I do at Retrition Plus has to be above board, and it's more than a supplement. It's a supportive companion. I wish I had it when I was obviously pregnant on your path to motherhood. So enjoy the pregnancy multivitamin. If you guys want to go and check out the range at Retrition Plus and our new products, which I know are going to help so many people, just head over to RetritionPlus.com, and you can also check us out on social media at Retrition Plus.
So it leads me on to two kind of questions before we take questions from our listeners. The first would be, what advice would you give to aspiring performers today? I know it's a different landscape, and you touched on body image. I can't still believe how frequently you were weighed at school, and you know, all of that madness. I hope still isn't happening, but is there any kind of bit of advice that they can have?
It is completely different now, and I wouldn't even know how it is for them now, because it was so long ago since I trained, and it's a different industry. It's a completely different industry. We're dealing with completely different castings and setups and ways into the industry. But what I would say is that it is a brilliant industry, and I think it's one of the best jobs in the world. I think those moments when you get to perform or get to interact or get a response is wonderful. But I would say you need to love it, because there's so much rejection, there's so much there's so many challenges. Mm. There's so many no's. There's, yeah. You know, you have to love it to be able to pick yourself up and go again. And if you don't love it, it's all good when you're doing a show and when you're having those experiences. But those times when you're not, and you've got to get up and you've got to go to the gym and you've got to, you know, you've got to make sure that you've got to go to another audition, or you've got to make sure that you're okay, so that you're the best that you can be when the next opportunity comes. That's the time you need to love it, because yeah. those are the times you've got to pick yourself up. So
such good advice. Love the off just as much as the on.
That's it.
But that's the hardest bit. Is there one pivotal no that you've ever had in your career that you remember hit hard and it was harder?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, well, weirdly, Evita had come up. Evita was auditioning.
That's Lloyd Webber, isn't it?
Yeah. And he was doing a brand new version of it. It was going to be a big West End, exciting new show. I'd just done Les Mis. So I'd done We Will Rock You, My Fair Lady, Les Mis, Miss Saigon. And I thought, this is my time. I'm ready to create a role. And I'd done a few auditions for it. And I thought, this is just perfect for me. Anyway, I got the call and they said, you didn't get it. Yeah. And I was devastated because I'd built myself up to for this one role.
Which you have to. You have to have self-belief.
But couple of weeks later, I get the call saying, we want you to audition for a show called Wicked.
Yeah.
So had I have gone down that route,
you'd never have done Wicked.
I might have never done Wicked. So, you know, I think sometimes your path is meant to happen.
It is.
And don't fight it, you know, let it be, let it just go with it and see what happens.
And you always have to experience those no's and those real lows in terms of your career and your path to enable you to grow stronger, right?
Absolutely. And they do make you stronger, and you learn about yourself. And also knowing that it's not personal. It's not because they don't like you as a person. You just don't fit into what they're looking for, and that's okay.
And also, before I do go on to questions from our listeners, which I will, with that whole idea of you just don't fit, have you ever had somebody comment on how you looked in terms of you just didn't look right for the role rather than the abilities you're able to provide?
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, I have. I mean, whether it comes directly or indirectly, times I've been told to drop a few pounds, I've been told to. And then there's ones that you can't change, not quite tall enough, or you don't fit in with that look of that family, or, you know, the ones that are rougher are the when they attack you as a person, like, or not attack, but if they say, well, your acting wasn't quite good, or you didn't, or you are slightly, you know, fatter or thinner than what we want. Yeah. It's that's harder to take than you just didn't fit.
Yeah, it's really difficult, I guess, separating yourself from having to fit a specific role and character when you are a different person anyway.
It's a minefield. It's another podcast.
It's a complete other podcast, but it goes to show how resilient you have to be. So the questions that I've got for you, I think the first one, Freya, and this is a really great question. What was it like performing at the Queen's Jubilee concert? We haven't even touched on this.
God, it was amazing, you know, because what was lovely is that we were just part of this very exciting time. And obviously Brian and Roger played as well. We played in her garden, which was so much fun. The boys were there, they were obviously a lot younger. We were just part of this kind of rebel team of people that went into the Queen's garden and sang rock songs, and it just felt so much
amazing.
Fun. What was funny going into it, we had to all we got a coach over there. I think we'd done a show in the afternoon, so we got ready at the theatre and we all got into our little kind of bohemian outfits. We got a coach over, and then we had to go into the palace, but we all had to go through metal detectors. All of our costumes were covered in metal because I had a bullet kind of vest thing on. And of course, we were just going through and it was going beep, 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 and we were laughing because everybody was just going through these metal detectors, just setting them off. But it was a great day.
Did you have to learn etiquette on how to be on that day in the presence of the Queen?
Well, we did. We weren't, because we were just doing the show, we were kind of ushered in and ushered out. But I have met some of the royals since doing the Festival of Remembrance doing the Royal Variety. So I have met a few royals since then, which yes, you do have to learn how to curtsy. And not speak until you're spoken to. But, you know, it's I've been fortunate to sing for a lot of the roles.
Yeah. And for the boys to see you. I love that. Just what a moment for your whole life to really reflect on. Do you have a ritual before performing, Cameron's asked? So do you have, you know, superstitions? I can't do this, I can't do that.
Yeah, it's a good one. I mean, I try desperately not to, because it can affect your show if you then don't do those things. But I do like, I like just a calm, quiet room. I quite like to be on my own for like 20 minutes or so before the show. I don't like the busyness of it.
Yes.
I think people have this idea that we're all kind of hanging out and having a party before the show. But for me, I like just a quiet time just to get my head in gear, because you've got so much to think about. And once you get onto the stage and in the wings, it is busy and it is chaotic. So I just like a moment of calm. I might sit and drink a cup of herbal tea.
It's so interesting. I go quiet before big things I've got to do. I prefer to have moments of peace.
I think you're either one way or the other, aren't you? Yes. You've either got the music on and you're pumped, or you're quiet and
I love that answer, because you must have obviously had so many experiences and high pressure performances. Like when you perform with Brian, I mean, there's just the audiences you perform to. What's been the biggest one? It's huge.
I think Verona was in, because it was live on national television, and so it went all over Italy, and it was in this, it was like the Rome Colosseum, like it was huge outside arena place. I think it was that, because of the people indoors and outdoors and on live on telly. Amazing. It was amazing
live performances. You can't take it away. Final question we've got. Okay, so we'll have to go into this one anyway. Do you have the best, what's the favorite role you've ever played? What's the best role? How can you pick?
It's so difficult because they all mean different things to me. But I think probably it would be Reno Sweeney, because it's the most recent.
Yeah.
And it was such a feel-good show.
Yeah.
I was in a good space. I felt great. I was just fit and healthy. The show was great. My voice is in good nick. And I think everything just aligned for that show.
I think people find that so interesting, that it isn't a Les Mis part, or it isn't Ellen and Miss Saigon. You know, it's something that you did more recently.
Yeah, I loved it. Yeah, I think because it's also the most recent and resonant in my mind, I think. But, you know, people expect me to say Wicked, and Wicked was. But Wicked had, it was kind of like I said, the best and the worst at the same
time. Stressful.
Stressful. So, yeah, I just had such a nice time on
I just can't imagine every night having to go out and be like, right, I have to belt this note. Because everyone in the audience wants it to be this way.
Cats is the same, though, because everybody's waiting for you to go, touch me. It's like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Apart from that, you don't have the 12 songs before it, but, yeah.
no easy feat. Kerry, you're touring this year. We're about to do our Fact or Fiction round, but first, tell me where you're going to be touring, and are you going to do some of those numbers? What's the vibe with
you? Yeah, so this show I'm really excited about it. It's 40 dates. I think it's my biggest tour.
Yeah.
So we're going all over the UK. We're going up to Scotland as well. We're literally everywhere. It's quite an intimate show. It's myself and my musical director, Craig Adams. And it's a book tour, so that we have a beautiful kind of coffee table book alongside it with... that has a bit of new music in it, and lots of lovely pictures and stories. I have a screen, so I talk about things in the past. So, yeah, there's lots of kind of past show chat. And then I'll be singing some new songs. And, yeah, it's a bit of a variety of songs for the evening.
But incredible.
I'm very excited.
Oh, I can't wait. When does it kick off?
I think it's October.
This October. Yeah. So blooming excited.
Yeah. You have to come.
I will. Oh, I'm there. You know I'm there already. Dilly and I will definitely be there. Right. Fact or fiction round, Kerry.
This is the bit I'm most stressed about, because I'm so indecisive. This is going to be awful.
Are you sure? Okay, here we go. Right. Question number one. Successful performers always have formal training.
False.
It's important to take care of your vocal health, especially during demanding performances.
True.
It's important to follow a healthy diet and lifestyle to maintain good performances.
True.
If only we'd known back then.
If only I'd known. Oh,
but gosh. Talent got you through.
Well.
Talent got you through. You're either a musical theatre performer or a solo artist. You can't be both.
False.
I love that answer because you are both. Mm-hmm. All performers easily handle stage fright.
Oh, false.
That's so interesting.
Oh, I think everybody's gone through it at some point.
And it's bizarre because you've trained, that's what you want to do.
Yeah, but it hits you when you just least expect it.
Really?
Yeah. Usually it's like within, like, the middle of a contract.
Wow.
Which is weird because it's you're so, your body's so used to doing the show. It's almost muscle
autopilot,
memory.
Yeah.
But it can just take over you. And it's so weird. And how it affects people differently. Yeah. I mean, I was on a workshop. Sorry, I know we don't.
No, go for it. Go.
I was on a workshop with, he won't mind me saying this, Ollie Thompson, because he openly offered it up. And we were talking about stage fright. And I said, yeah, I've gone through it. And what do? I go back and I rewrite the script and give myself the clues that I originally had and basically retrain myself to do the scene. And he said he had to go to a hypnotherapist. He had such a fear about going on, and it was affecting his voice, and he couldn't sing his top range, and it was getting so much anxiety that he ended up going to see this hypnotherapist. I can't say it, hypnotherapist.
Yeah, hypnotherapist, yeah.
And it sorted him out. But he said it was a really scary time. And I think people have such different relationships to it.
It's mental health.
It is mental health.
And you guys were not given support for your mental health.
Yeah.
It's fascinating.
Yeah.
Gosh, sorry, that totally threw me off.
Yeah, sorry.
A work-life balance is impossible to have when you're a star performer.
Oh.
Well, honest answer.
Oh, my honest answer would be massively in between.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's the ideal thing. We're always trying to get that true balance, aren't we? So, I mean, yeah. I'd like to say it's true. I don't know. It's probably false.
But she got back from Singapore last week, so you know, it's not straightforward. Musical theatre is a glamorous industry.
False.
No, I think that's definitely the most false one.
I'd love to do a backstage, you know, view for people to see actually all the stuff that goes on.
Do you think
on.
Someone would let you? You could do it for a podcast. You could actually take a camera crew. I'm sure these guys would go with you. They could go backstage. I'd love
see
that.
It. We're going.
That would be amazing. Right. Musical theatre performers are always extroverted.
False. I mean, I'm probably the most, like, socially.
I would say you're not.
I'm the most quiet person. Yeah. I mean, I was out with a group of people yesterday and we were all in town and I'm the quietest person. I mean, on stage,
it's like
a different person. It's weird. But in my day-to-day, I'm completely the other way.
Is it like alter ego? You know, like Beyonce has her... person she becomes
Sasha Thier.
So is that?
I think it is, and it's so weird that you can suddenly be really free and open in front of thousands of people. It's the most bizarre thing, have like this confidence that you don't have when you're sitting next to your friends and family and just social people. It's weird. It's very strange. I don't know what it is, but it does happen.
This is absolutely fascinating. Right, being a performer means you have to be on a diet all the time.
False.
Good. Very happy. That's the end of our fact of fiction round.
That's a bit I was most nervous about.
Carrie, I mean, there's so many take-home messages to end this podcast today, and I think I'll start by just saying my food for thought would literally be, you know, as a performer, your body is your tool, but equally you need that support network, because to be expected to deliver something so exceptional at the click of a finger is not an easy task.
Yeah.
It's not just that you're talented. It takes grit.
Yeah.
You don't get where you are today. And you're a very grounded, modest person, Carrie. But, you know, with your... Because I even said I voice noted you on the train. I was like, I've got this really long bio and I cannot memorize it off by heart to the camera because it's so impressive. But you don't get there without hard work. And we still have to say, look, if you are looking at becoming... you know, something, or you want to put your energy into a career, you do have to give it 100%.
Yeah.
So my take-home message would be, please don't let that 100% compromise on your mental and physical health, because today there's resources out there. Carrie, if you could give our listeners a take-home food for thought today, what would that be?
I mean, I think it's kind of along the same lines of what you've said, but I would say in this wonderful, weird, crazy industry, if you're looking to go into it, look after yourself first.
Mm.
Put yourself first. I have learned in more recent years how nutrition and exercise, diet and exercise, has been so powerful for me. But also looking after my mental health. I love to go for a run. I love to go to yoga. I love to look after that side of me. And I think balancing those things will make you have so much strength and so much power that you will just have so much confidence to move into this industry and take on those auditions and those tasks and those no's and those yeses with just elegance and strength and, you know, put you first and the rest will fall into place.
Carrie, that's fantastic. And where can everyone go? Obviously, I know you've got your social media, but where can people go to find out more about your tour, about your book, everything, your CDs?
I mean, my website is kerryellis.com, but my social, my Instagram is probably where I talk about it the most. Which is KerryLess79. But on my website is the place.
And can I fire one last question just to get it in there? How do you deal, or if you get it, with imposter syndrome? Do you experience this?
Yes, I do. I do. In fact, I get it a lot, actually. Yeah, I do. I mean, I think the more that I get, the older I get, I'm just appreciative of being there. I had it really bad I did my first Shakespeare play.
Oh, wow. What one was it?
Midsummer Night's Dream.
Oh, I love. Were you Titania?
Yeah, it was Titania. And it was last year, I think, last summer. And I've never been so nervous walking into a room. And it's so weird because we're all actors. But walking into a room of Shakespearean actors was the most terrifying thing ever. But I sat next to Jonathan Hyde, who's the most beautiful, wonderful, humble, generous person. And I said to him, I'm so nervous. And he said, we've all got it. He said, I still have imposter syndrome now. He said, I'm still as nervous as you are sat in this room. And he's, you know, such a brilliant actor, legend. And I just thought to myself, well, you know, we are all feeling it. Yeah. We're all feeling it the same way. And it's okay. It's okay. Is it because we care and we want to be here? But yeah, I do deal with it. Yeah. And I think just know everyone else is dealing with it. And you're not the only one.
You heard it from Kerry. We're all in this together. Kerry, thank you so much for coming on Food for Thought.
Thank you.
Right, that's it. If you're enjoying Food for Thought, you will love what we have coming up in future episodes, I have no doubt. So if you're not already, you just have to hit the subscribe button on your podcast app. So this means you get a little notification bell. I wish I'd known about it earlier. There is a lot of misinformation out there, and I really hope that we're continuing to bring you the latest research along with our special guests to ensure that you're just getting the best experience possible. So if you are enjoying our episodes and you're learning lots, then please do leave us a review or get in touch. This will help enormously and ultimately help us reach more people and make sure we're doing the right thing by you and giving you the right information. So if you want to learn more about the best-selling books, the clinic, perhaps you need to book in to see one of our fantastic clinicians, or to find out more about Retrition Plus, you can find everything you need to know on retrition.com. And you can follow, of course, me on Retrition on all social media platforms. Yes, I'm even on TikTok now, guys, so you can head over there and check it out.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.